This is your weekly recipe of local flavours.
Welcome to the Food and Drink Show on Stray FM with the Dunsforce. Escape to the country for some classically modern cooking.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Easter version of the Food and Drink Show. Thank you for clicking download on the podcast. It's Will Smith from Stray FM, and we've got so much on this podcast for you. Okay, so all about chocolate because it's Easter, and Easter is all about chocolate, and it's all about the beautiful hotels tonight. So we're at the Coniston Hotel just outside Skipton in Coniston Cold, and we're chatting to Nick Bannister tonight, and we're talking all about their new spa and restaurant. And trust me, I've been in the new spa and I've been in the restaurant, and it's all amazing there. So we'll chat about that very soon, and I'm very excited. Okay, little insight into my world. I've been looking forward to this for ages. I'm very excited about going and staying at the Feversham Arms next Friday. And the Feversham Arms in Helmsley is going to be on tonight's show, or this morning's show, or this afternoon's show, depending on when you're listening to this. And they've got a new relaunched restaurant there. We're going to be finding out all about that a little bit later on tonight. And it's an Easter drink on the Slingsby's Gin Drink of the Week. So sit tight, fasten yourself in, and enjoy.
Flavours of the Week
with Yorkshire's Steph Moon.
Good evening, Stephanie.
Good evening, Will. How are you doing?
I'm really well. It's a bank holiday weekend. It's the start of Easter. What's not to love about life? So, Stephanie, you are out and about this weekend, then, aren't you?
I'm going to the York Chocolate Festival tomorrow.
Very nice. Now, of course, York famous for chocolate.
Very much so, Will. We've got the Round Trees, we've got Terry's, we've got Kit Kats are made in York.
All very tasty, and lots of people will be eating them this weekend with it being Easter, of course.
So
just give us a plug for the festival then, if people want to come and see you, where and what.
Yep, there's lots of different chefs and chocolatiers cooking on the high street near, I think it's near Marks and Spencer's around
there.
Oh
yeah, I know what you mean,
And basically it's all about chocolate. So it's chocolate with savoury, chocolate with sweet, chocolate biscuits, cakes, everything.
And is that on all weekend?
It is.
So you can where it is, all the shoppers walk down there. So it'll be appealing to all the passing trade. It'll be great.
I think it's good because, again, it's real heritage of you know, York and Yorkshire, isn't it? We've got some great heritage there, and what better way of spending your Easter weekend if you're in York? You know, go along. You might get a free sample. So I've brought you here, Will, today. We've got, as I'm going to Chocolate Festival, I'm going to show you the easiest chocolate pudding to make.
Right.
And you can eat it when it's hot and it's lovely.
I always go for the chocolate option on a dessert menu. Uh-huh. And I always like it warm, so
we're in for a treat. Well, we've got here, this is a passion fruit chocolate pudding. And the idea with this is a bit like a chocolate fondant where it's soft in the middle. This is a bit like that. So it oozes the chocolate when you crack into it.
Very sticky it looks like.
Yeah, it's nice and gooey, and it's got that runny chocolate. Mm. We've got a bit of passion fruit inside there as well.
Oh, love a bit of passion.
And those seeds with the richness of the chocolate will sort of cut through that sort of very rich pudding. And served it with a tiny bit of orange jelly just to cut through again. And I just think, nice, simple dish this. All you do, I'm going to put the recipes up on the website. I've got a picture there for you to follow. All you do is you basically mix the lot together. So we've got sugar, butter, dark chocolate, egg yolk, egg and flour.
You make it sound so straightforward.
Do you know how long that took me to do, Will?
Go on.
About 4 minutes to make it. Honestly, it was just melting.
And that's
chocolate.
Not obviously out the pack. I know you will have made. Wow. Yeah.
And then actually to bake it takes 8 minutes, and you let it rest for two, and then you eat it.
And I suppose with your background, Steph, of, you know, working in restaurants, working in hotels, if you are cooking for a dinner party of 250 people, to do them on a batch is quite an easy dessert to do, isn't it?
This one, it's quite tricky to serve if you're doing a big dinner party because getting them all hot and sort of molten
at the same time
and oozing the chocolate at the same time is quite tricky.
Shall we dig in?
Let's dive in and
have a go.
Yeah, so those passion fruit in there, see how you get on with that. It's rich, isn't it?
It is very rich, yeah.
You wouldn't, that's why we put it with the passion fruit and with the jelly. You wouldn't want a great big slice of this.
No.
Would you?
It's not after a two courses.
It's less is more with this dessert. And normally you don't say that about chocolates.
And they really mix really well, don't they?
They do. They do. It's classic, really. So
that is very, very tasty.
Yeah. And so I'm going to make sure this, if you have a try, you know, this one is so easy to do. The secret is, though, when you line the mould, you get a ramekin, a big round porcelain dish, and just line it with butter, and then grate some chocolate like you would cheese, but with a fine grater, and that powder goes all the way round. So when you turn it out, you've got a really nice edge to your chocolate dessert.
It does look very professional. It's all you can tell rounded.
Yeah.
I'm just struggling to get over the fact it's taking you 4 minutes to do.
Well, honestly, 4 minutes to do, 8 minutes to cook, and then about 2 minutes to eat, Will.
I do think we should do this little bit, flavours of the week at my kitchen 1 week.
Absolutely, I'm up for that, Will. Definitely.
And you can set me a little task.
That sounds good.
And we'll get the Rayburn fired up. Perfect. So we'll put this recipe on the website. And just remind, if anybody's just switched on, we're on Stray FM Food and Drink Show. Just remind us, Steph, of where you're going to be this weekend.
Right, well, I will be at the York Chocolate Festival. It's on all weekend. I'll be there tomorrow. And I think there'll be lots to see and do. And come along, give us a shout, you know, give us a...
If there's one thing about Steph, she's so approachable, aren't you? Honestly, just go up to her in the street and you'll be there for half an hour. She'll tell you everything you need to know about cooking. She's fantastic.
Thank you.
So Steph will be there tomorrow and you'll be back here next week.
Look forward to it, Will.
Steph Moon's Flavours of the Week.
On Stray FM. Stray FM's Food and Drink Show with the Dunsforce. Yorkshire's only pub awarded the Michelin Bib Gourmand.
Oh, God, love her so much. It's Steph Moon on the Food and Drink podcast from Stray FM. Will Smith here, and it's time to take a trip over to Skipton to the Coniston Hotel. Tom Harland has been talking to Nick Bannister and Elizabeth Payton-Jones all about their new spa and restaurant. Here it is.
The Coniston Hotel and Country Estate on Stray FM's Food and Drink Show.
There are few treats in life better than a weekend away with a loved one, or even a decent hotel when you're on a work break. One place that offers all of those options is the Coniston Country Estate Hotel, and now Spa. The Coniston opened its spa on November the 2nd last year and is the latest in a series of developments, as director Nick Bannister explained.
Through a £6 million investment programme over the last 6-7 years, we have expanded in a number of areas. We've taken our number of bedrooms up to 71. We put in a Huntsman's Lounge overlooking the lake, which has been a huge success. Beautiful views over the lake, up the dales towards Malham. Brasserie-style food. We have also really focused on the food offering in our McLeod's restaurant, and that is fine dining, as we put it, without the fuss. We've just introduced a new Easter menu, which I think people will very much enjoy. It's gone down extremely well. A lot of local produce, a lot of innovative new dishes, and that has proved extremely popular. But obviously, in the desire to be a destination hotel, not just for the leisure market, which of course is important for us, but also for the corporate market, we felt that to have a spa was actually now going to be a necessity in order to compete in what is a very competitive space. And therefore, the plans for the spa have been many years in the coming. We already have 450 members, so we're very pleased with the way the membership has expanded.
It's a successful venture then. Nick went on to tell me more about the spa's features.
We have a 15-metre swimming pool. We have an excellent state-of-the-art gym with all modern, very modern equipment. We have an exercise room where we do classes, and they're proving very popular. We have 9 treatment rooms, some very talented therapists, and we have a thermal experience. So we not only have the traditional sauna, the traditional steam room, but we also have a salt sauna, which has proved extremely popular, and also very popular, particularly now as the weather starts to improve. We have an outdoor pool, an outdoor hot tub, overlooking the lake. So you can sit there from dawn till dusk, looking out over the lake, which has proved extremely popular.
It really is a fantastic offering. Trust me, I've seen it. Beautiful pool, beautiful views, top-notch facilities. But this is the Food and Drink Show. What about the food? The Coniston has incredible restaurants, but the spa offers something a little different.
Our restaurant is called Nourish, which we think very much explains the type of offering that we're offering there, which is healthy food. And we wanted very much to combine an exercise regime with a diet and an offering that makes healthy food delicious.
So, the Coniston teamed up with local food and health expert Elizabeth Peyton-Jones for the menu. Elizabeth certainly knows her stuff. She's written books, appeared on Good Morning America, advised world leaders, and is even a trustee for the Jamie Oliver Foundation. Elizabeth's work has focused on how what you eat can help you look younger. How does her work at the Coniston fit into this?
Nourish is an incredible restaurant and a testament to actually, I think, to the way the world is going. And Nick Bannister here at Coniston was very, very brave to actually become pivotal in this sort of like new revolution, if you like, towards new food. Because I think it's really what people are asking for. People want to be healthy. They want to feel good. You know, they don't want to feel heavy and full after a meal, especially if they've gone to a gym. You know, you want to feel good afterwards. So yes, we designed a menu which is very, very delicious. So the food tastes very good, but at the same time is very nutritionally balanced.
That all sounds obvious, but a lot of spas aren't offering these healthy options. I asked Elizabeth to guide us through some of the menu highlights at Nourish.
If you just wanted to have the protein, for example, you could have the mackerel pate. Doesn't that sound great, mackerel pate? And then as a main, you could have poached salmon, or you could have grilled sea bass. So, you know, they've got some great protein there. And then if you're off the fish and you don't want to have fish, but you want to have something that's just even lighter, you can always have the roasted vine tomatoes or the warm asparagus, you know, with the poached egg. And then, you know, as a main, you could have something like the courgette and cauliflower curry with brown rice. And if you're into indulgence and rather like the sweet stuff, then there's also pudding. So you can have the sort of warm chocolate brownie or the lemon drizzle cake. So, you know, there's a bit for everything here. And it's just good to know that when you're eating it, it's not high salt, high sugar, high fat, all those things we're trying to stay off.
There's a selection for everyone and very different from other similar venues, as Elizabeth found out in her research.
They would give you a salad because they'd put salad together because they'd think, oh, salad healthy. But the understanding, you know, of actually food and nutrition wasn't there enough to create an entire menu of healthy food. And I think it's a big step that Nick took because it does take training. I mean, we had to train chefs on how to make yogurts, for example, that didn't have dairy in them, and sauces, you know, without wheat and salt and high-dense sugars and things like that. So it's a training that goes on. And I think everybody really had their eyes wide open because to begin with, it was difficult. And it's a sort of, you know, how can you make a dairy substance with no, you know, dairy?
Yeah.
You know? So it was, you know, it was a leap of faith. But actually everybody really enjoyed learning this new technique and actually eating it. And I think it was when the sort of kitchen staff began to eat what they were making, thinking, wow, it actually tastes quite good. They then felt sort of really encouraged to then come up with their own creative dishes.
And I think that has actually benefited our broader menus as well. I would also think that in terms of the techniques they've learned in developing the Nourish menu, you may see some things creeping onto our main menus for McLeod's and for Huntsman's, which actually, as Elizabeth said, are quite delicious.
So, has it been successful?
Since December, we have more than, on a monthly basis, more than double the number of covers that we're doing in Nourish. We're getting huge demand on weekends. We are very much booked up Friday, Saturday, Sunday. And we are now encouraging people to come to Nourish in its own right. So, for example, if you're not a spa member, if you're not there for a treatment, book a table and just try us.
And if you do just want to pop in, maybe you could grab something from their range of smoothies and juices. That all might be a bit confusing, maybe a bit put off by smoothies, juices. What even is the difference? Elizabeth tried to clear it up for us.
There's a lot of confusion between a smoothie and a juice, and I think people think, oh, which one do I pick? And a smoothie is almost like a complete meal. So, for example, if you're trying to lose weight, you just want that protein hit in a, you know, liquid form, then a smoothie is the thing to go for. But a juice is like a vitamin pill. It's like giving you that extra boost of vitamins, minerals, etc. And Coniston have some really great choices of juices here. So, for example, there is a detox juice here which can build your collagen and make you look good because it's got cucumber in it. And cucumber has silica, and silica helps elastin and collagen. So that's really great. It's got ginger and carrots, and that's a wonderful juice to have. And it's a great shot of goodness, if you like. The smoothies, there's an antioxidant smoothie, for example. So you can go through the menu, and then you can also think to yourself, ooh, what exercise am I doing? And what do I eat after that? You know, what do I drink after that? So if you're exercising and you're wanting to build muscle, then you choose the protein smoothie. You know, if you're maybe trying to lose weight, or you're on a detox diet, or you're coming off sugar or whatever it might be, then you can have the juice and just get that vitamins and mineral into you.
You can find out more about Nourish and all the other facilities at the Coniston on their website, theconistonhotel.com.
The Coniston Hotel and Country Estate on Stray FM's Food and Drink Show. Stray FM's Food and Drink Show with the Dunsforce. Get three courses and half a bottle of wine for just £20 with our spring dining offer.
From one fine Yorkshire hotel to the next, this is the Food and Drink Show podcast from Stray FM. It's Will Smith here, and I'm so excited about going to stay at the Feversham Arms Hotel next Friday. I've been looking forward to it for ages. I can't wait to get in the outside pool. If you don't know all about the world of the Feversham Arms Hotel, it's in Helmsley, and they've just relaunched their new restaurant with an exciting new menu, which I'm going to be trying on Friday, and a new name. Beth Parsons has been, and she's been finding out more.
The Feversham Arms on Stray FM's Food and Drink Show.
So tonight on the Food and Drink Show, we have been joined by Norman McKenzie, who is the head chef of the Feversham Arms Hotel and Verbena Spa over in Helmsley. Hello, Norman.
Hi there. You all right?
I'm very good, thank you. Are you?
Good, thank you. Yeah.
I'm feeling a little hungry. You've brought along a menu of your new and improved restaurant, The Weather Vane, and it's really very, very tempting. I think I'm going home to like fish fingers and chips later on, and this is definitely not fish fingers and chips territory. We'll go on to talk a little bit about The Weather Vane and what it offers very shortly, but let's start with you. Bit of an introduction. How have you got to becoming head chef of the Feversham Arms?
Well, I grew up in the Highlands, so there was very little to do, so I took on weekend jobs. Ended up as a KP when I was 14, so then just sort of got hooked on it. I started getting taught pastry by this mad Frenchman. So yeah, I did pastry for about 6 years and then moved into the hot kitchen. But I was quite lucky in the sense that I knew what I wanted to do quite young, sort of 14, 15. So it's, and obviously with the surroundings that I grew up in, it was natural with all the ingredients, with the salmon and the deer and everything else that you grew up around. So.
And have you now got a sort of area or a direction, a food direction or a particular type of cuisine that you love?
Yeah, it's very much the same as when I first started, to be honest. It's all about natural flavours and the elements and representing the immediate area of where you're cooking, basically. So I've always sort of kept that with me. Obviously, and Helmsley is such a rich area for all the ingredients and natural herbs and fruits and nuts and everything when you go out foraging. So,
which you do. We're going to focus on that again in a couple of months' time. We're going to go out for a bit of a forage, but I love that. So it's sort of what's growing around you ends up on your plate.
Yeah, absolutely. So it's got a real sense of belonging, really, in the restaurant, which is what we're trying to provide to the customers. So some dishes are more intricate than others, and others just don't need playing with. You just put it on the plate with it and represent the ingredients as best as you can, really. So.
Now, on to The Weather Vane as a restaurant. What was it before and what is it now? How have you sort of developed to create this Weather Vane enigma?
Yeah, I mean, the restaurant's still the restaurant. It was just that we had to give it a name because it's like going into any old inn, although we like to think of self as off the upper end. But there was no identity to the restaurant. You were just dining at the Feversham Arms. So we wanted to give it real identities. Obviously, we've redesigned the menus, the layouts, the formats. It's a bit of marketing around the building and things, but it makes it easier for us to get the name out of the Weather Vane, really. So.
And the name was chosen in quite an interesting way, wasn't it? How did you come to choosing the Weather Vane?
Yeah, it was launched as a competition on social media and Facebook, Twitter, website, just inviting our patrons, really, to come up with names for the restaurant. So the Weather Vane was the one that stuck out the most because obviously there's a massive weather vane on top of the restaurant roof, peering down and over the pool sort of thing, so it seemed a natural one to go with.
When it comes to people coming for dinner, will you sort of welcome people in to just come for dinner, or will they have to stay, or what kind of...
Yeah, we get a lot of people coming up just for dinner if they're in the area or they have a drive up. Obviously, we do a lot of residential dinners as well, particularly
what's a residential dinner?
Well, it's just when people are staying.
Oh, right, OK.
So, yeah, people stay over and the majority of them want to eat in the restaurant, so we've got to be careful of the amount of bookings, obviously, at the weekend when we're full, uh-huh. and make sure that we're getting everybody in a timely manner.
Now, when I had I've got a copy of the menu here. It's a lovely looking menu. I like this. There's something that particularly jumps out to me that I like a lot, and it's the tasting menu. Yeah. I like that because it doesn't involve having to choose, because I'm terrible at choosing. If you've got all these beautiful choices, it takes me a long time to decide. So you've got a whole load of different, I presume they're kind of smaller plates,
yes,
on the tasting menu.
Yeah.
And it just sounds incredible. What is pastrami of Scarborough Woof?
The Scarborough Woof is just a nickname over in the East Coast for catfish.
Oh, it's a fish.
Yeah, and it's spotted, so it looks like a Dalmatian, the skin of the fish, so hence the sort of local name of Scarborough Woof. And we cure that for 3 days. We turn it every 24 hours. And then we put the pastrami topping on it and leave that for another 24 hours. So it takes about 4 days to prepare.
That's food with TLC, that is.
Yeah, and then the sea buckthorn, they're just foraged berries, simply processed. It's got 16 times more vitamin C than an orange, the buckthorn berries. So it's very healthy for you. And then we just pair that up with some Alexandra stems, which we go out and forage. We just peel them down and cook them a bit like asparagus. So it sort of cools the dish down, if you like. So the pastrami mix is quite a hot one.
It's incredible. The selection of things is absolutely incredible. I don't know where I would go to eat this kind of food. It looks beautiful. And also, another thing I like when I don't have to choose is that you can pair wine with it. So I don't have to worry about knowing a load about wine and what will go lovely with it.
Well, so we've got the wine flight. That'll change as the menu changes. So the dish is slightly changed because of the season. So then, before we can react, we've got good sommelier. Charles is very versed in world wines as well, and good vintages. We've got a good stock of them.
How often does your menu change?
Every sort of 8 to 10 weeks we change it.
Oh, right, okay. So we could come for 5 or 6 meals throughout the year and eat something totally different
every
single time.
Yeah, it'll be totally different every time. And then we've got the a la carte, and we've obviously got the lounge and everything else like that we change throughout the year as well. So there's plenty of changes.
Have you got a particular favourite dish of the menu at the moment?
At the moment, it's probably the crispy truffle egg yolk. We serve that with reindeer moss, which is my new favourite sort of thing at the moment. It's a lichen, basically, which is a jewel.
I don't know what any of those words mean.
Really?
A lichen, which is a jewel?
It's basically a mix between the algae and fungus spores, and when they they form this, it's called reindeer moss.
Wow.
So you just sort of slightly crispen that up and serve it. We sort of coat a little egg yolk with truffle breadcrumbs with brioche, and then we make a mushroom essence, so the mushroom flavour goes back into the lichen.
Oh, this sounds incredible. Okay, so if someone's coming along to Weathervane, you would recommend they try the crisp truffle egg yolk?
Yeah, absolutely. So,
okay.
I mean, that's available outside to tasting on its own. I think it's a great wheat dish.
If people want to come along and try the delights of the Weathervane at the Feversham Arms Hotel, what is the best way for them to do that? Should they ring and book?
Yeah, it's just called the main hotel, put you through to the restaurant.
Okay. And I presume you've got a beautiful website as well, so if they search online the Feversham Arms Hotel, you will come right up there.
Yes, absolutely. So it's got all the current menus on there, and you can go online and book a table as well and put any dietary requirements or preferences.
Perfect. Norman, thank you so much for coming in. I'm definitely going to have to book a trip because my tea is just not sounding anywhere near as inspired anymore.
Need your mushy peas with your fish fingers.
Yeah. Norman, thank you very much.
Thank you.
The Feversham Arms on Stray FM's Food and Drink Show. Stray FM's Food and Drink Show with the Dunsforce, home of the homemade. From our tasting menu to our dog biscuits.
Will Smith with the Stray FM Food and Drink Podcast. And do you fancy a chocolate drink for the weekend? Have a listen to this.
Stray FM's Drink of the Week with Spirit of Harrogate, the home of Slingsby Gin.
This week we've got a nice fiery number for you out there. It's a gin mule. It's a nice twist on the classic Moscow mule, but with gin. It's a full 50ml measure of Slingsby gin in there as well, so it's nice and strong for you. First, we're going to take a whole lime, cut it into segments, round about 8. Muddle that in the bottom of your glass. Maybe a touch of sugar if you want it to be a bit sweeter. I don't like it that way, I like it nice and tart. Then you put in your 50ml measure of gin, a bit of ice, give it a little bit of a stir, add a little bit more ice, put a little bit of ginger beer in there, the fierier the better, stir it again and then top it with ginger beer. You don't need to garnish this one, it should have a lovely sherbety flavour and a nice fiery kick. Get you really going and give a great start to the day or the weekend.
Drink of the week on Stray FM with Spirit of Harrogate. Book your gin tasting event now. Stray FM's food and drink show with the Dunsforce. Escape to the country for some classically modern cooking.